All right, good morning. Are you able to hear me? All right. Good morning, beloveds. I'm trying to wiggle to my camera as well, which probably won't be on the entire time, but I am going to turn it on. All right, good morning. I am starting this morning by welcoming everybody to our new format here, the Zoom chat room. I do want to welcome everybody, as I mentioned, in a moment. We will greet one another on the chat board as we usually do at the beginning of the weekly gathering. I do want to touch on a couple of housekeeping things before we move ahead. This is a new format for all of us, really. To turn on the chat board, click the chat icon. It's usually at the bottom of the screen, but for some devices, it may be at the top of the screen. If you would like to see a list of everyone in the sanctuary, click on the participants icon. All right, so I'm going to release this mic to Lynn, which is simply done by muting and unmuting yourself, and ask that she play our opening song. Lynn, this mic is yours.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here, standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder. Rising in love. Shanti Satchidananda. Shanti. 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 Shanti.
All right, thank you, Lynn. Always good to see everyone in the sanctuary. It looks like everybody's operating pretty well with it as well, so that's great news. Next up, we have our announcements for this week. The first announcement is Kate Brennan's Sunday program, Giving Up Kate, is now recorded and posted to the Awakening Together website. Kate's program is live in the sanctuary on Sundays, immediately following the fellowship half hour. It's always fun to catch a program live, but if you aren't able to join Kate in the sanctuary at noon on Sundays, you can listen to her program on our website. It is posted under Audios, Videos, Sanctuary Highlights. The audio will also be on the daily update each Monday. And the next announcement is, as you may have heard, this week is Ken's last week as Sanctuary Director. It's also Dawn's first week. So we want to take this time to welcome Dawn to the Sanctuary and to welcome her into her new role as Sanctuary Director. The Awakening Together radio has been housed at Ken's house for the past couple of years. It will remain there until the end of the day this Wednesday. At that time, the radio computer will be turned off and moved to Awakening Together's retreat house in La Vida. That means...
I don't know.
Are you able to hear me? Okay. All right. That means that the radio will be down beginning Wednesday evening when we close the sanctuary until sometime on Thursday. We aren't sure what time it will be up and running on Thursday. It just depends on when the ladies there get the computer powered up and running. So yes, welcome, Dawn. Next up, tonight is our quarterly member meeting. Join Regina in the sanctuary at 8 p.m., 5 p.m. Pacific for a member meeting. Tonight's agenda includes a financial update, an ordination ceremony. Tony Fields will be ordained as an Awakening Together minister tonight. As well as we will have a retreat house update, including an announcement about the retreat house's grand opening and the first retreats. So we're going to have a very good member meeting tonight, so do join us for that exciting meeting. And that does conclude our announcements for this week. I'm going to ask Lynn to play another song for us, and I will rejoin us with prayer. So Lynn, once again, this mic is yours.
Us from beyond to the real, from darkness into light, from death to life. What life. Oh God, the Almighty, let there be peace on earth and all celestial regions. May the waters be appeasing, and may the earth all be wholesome, and may the trees and the plants bring peace to all. Shanti, Shanti, unto all. O God, lead us from the unreal to the real, from darkness into light, from death to life. Oh, to life. Shanti, Shanti, unto all. Shanti, Shanti, unto all. Shanti, Shanti, unto all. Shanti, Shanti, unto all.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lynn, for that song. And yes, Shanti to all. So if you'll join me now for prayer. It is a absolute blessing to be here, to be a part of Awakening Together, and to be joined in this space together. As things turn out, I'm end up being the initial minister here with the new space. As you all are quite aware, we moved from Pal Talk here into this Zoom space. So I feel compelled this morning to offer a blessing for this sacred space where we join not only on a weekly basis, but quite often to share in our spiritual journey, to rest in truth, and to acknowledge each other in a very special way. At what I believe to be a very deep and vibrational level. So I want to offer a blessing this morning for this sacred space, that all who enter here, all who speak here, all who join here, all who connect here, might feel the love of the truth in this space. I give thanks for each and every one of you, and again, the opportunity to be here to share with you. So it is, and so I let it be. Amen. All right, so I am going to ask that my reader come forward. Jerry, Reverend Jerry, is our reader for today. Today's reading comes from The Way of Liberation by Adia Shanti. She'll be reading from one of the three ideas there in his book, The Way of Liberation. This one is the dream state. So I'm going to release the mic now and ask Reverend Jerry to come forward.
Thank you, Gloria. Good morning, everyone. I'm reading from chapter 2, The Dream State. It is the nature of all dreams that the characters therein are so busy being, well, characters, that what lies outside the dream eludes them. In fact, the very idea that there is an outside of their dream state, or that what they take to be real and meaningful is a dream state, is something that they would rarely even consider, at least not until their dream becomes a very bad nightmare. And even then, very few will allow in the only thing that can save themselves from endless sleep. So many are tied and bound to themselves that they cannot stop running from here to there and back again, always on the lookout for something more, different, or better. They cannot see that they are getting nowhere at all. And they are getting absolutely nowhere faster and faster, with more and more ingenuity all the time. Who are they? I'm afraid that they are us. The greatest dream that we can have is to forget that we are dreaming. Lost in our minds' imagined world of judgments, beliefs, and opinions, we are literally caught in a waking dream. For some, it is a nightmare. For others, a temporary reprieve in some imagined heaven. For most, it is something in between. But no matter what the current state of your dream may be, it will all come to an end someday when you least expect it. Suddenly, the plot of your life will change and end altogether, and you will find yourself disoriented and wondering what happened and where it all went. Such abrupt changes in the direction and texture of our lives is one of the few certainties that we have in life. And yet we keep believing that what we think about life has anything whatsoever to do with what life actually is. We are so busy and obsessed with our restless thinking about everything and everyone that we have mistaken our thinking about everything and everyone for everything and everyone. This tendency to take our thoughts to be real is what keeps the dream state intact and keeps us trapped within its domain of unconsciousness and strife. To many people, the very idea that what is more real than all of their beliefs and opinions about what is hard to believe. But that's how it is when you are caught up in a dream. To you, your dream is real, because all of your thoughts confirm that it is real. But what is more real than 1,000 thoughts about how things should be. Life will conform neither to the story you tell yourself about it, nor to your interpretation of it. Believe a single thought that runs contrary to the way things are or have been, and you suffer because of it. No exceptions. This does not mean that you should not have any thoughts outside of what is. It only means that what is the reality of now. If you think that people should be nice to one another, then by all means be nice. But when you project that belief onto the people and the world around you, as if it were an objective reality, or worse still, as if it were their job to be nice to you, you put yourself at odds with what is, and suffering will surely follow. Now imagine a world of billions of people. Each one of them has innumerable ideas, beliefs, and opinions that they believe to be true. And each one of these billions of people has different ideas, beliefs, and opinions about what they absolutely believe in. They are all walking around seeing the same outside world, but inwardly they each live in a different world, in a different waking dream. Is it any wonder we have trouble getting along? To add complexity to this volatile mixture is the fact that there are also collective dream states where people of similar personal dreams gather together to form collective dream states. These are even harder spells to break out of because collective dream states exist within a consensus reality. In other words, it must be true because we all believe it to be true. Thus is the state of humanity. And the reality of universal being, your being, all being, remains exiled to the oblivion of unconsciousness. Thank you. Pass the mic back to you, Gloria.
All right, perfect. Thank you, Jerry. That was perfectly read. From the Way of Liberation there, Adia Shanti. I do want to mention our core value today here as well. Core value number 5, we accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. And that is core value number 5. So I guess I do want to start out by saying that the primary focus of that reading was on thoughts, right? Where our thoughts ultimately lead us, the believing of our thoughts, where they lead us there. Now, in that chapter, in that part of Adi Ashanti's book, he had three ideas, and the dream state was actually one of them. The two other states was, the first one was the question of being. I do want to include a little bit from those first two chapters because I think they're relevant to the dream state. They're all relevant. All right. So in the question of being, he says that we're all born with being veiled in obscurity. We may recognize the transparency of being shining in the eyes of an infant, but such being is not conscious of itself. It is veiled in an absence of self-awareness. Infants live in a magical world of unconscious being, while adults live in a world of egocentric separation and denial of being. Rectifying and restoring being so its true dominion and sovereignty is what the spiritual awakening makes possible. So in that first chapter there, we see that rectifying all of this, restoring ourselves back to the absence the transparency of the beingness shining through is what it's all about. That's what makes spiritual awakening possible. So I definitely wanted to include that, as well as the second verse was the false self. And in that, he says the false self is the greatest barrier. All barriers are imagined, of course, to the realization of our true identity of universal being. The false self is essentially a psychological process occurring in the mind that organizes, translates, and makes sense of all incoming data from the senses. So there we just get really very good nuggets about what the spiritual path is for, what the false self represents, and then he brings us very smoothly into the dream state. Now, I do want to say that initially, it's always amazing to me how what I'm going to talk about ends up being applicable to me on a deeper level than what I had originally anticipated it would be. By that, I mean to say that this whole idea of believing our thoughts or believing the mental chatter that goes on, and that creates the reality that we ultimately believe, which of course brings me to just before, as I was preparing for this, as I was looking at this, we were introduced to this new format here in Zoom. And for me, it just brought up a lot of things as far as opening it up, changing it. Changes usually do spark, bring up things within us, whether they're small changes, big changes, whatever the change may be. So I had to look at the things that came up for me, right? With things such as being on video here in the Zoom chat room, things that consciously came up for me. It took a lot for me personally to become comfortable with speaking in this way. Although I'm a very outgoing individual, my personality is very outgoing, and that's just the way I am. But being so visual for me was tough initially. It was something I had to get used to, and I did ultimately get used to that over time. But adding a new element, which is why you don't see my camera now, my mannerisms when I'm speaking, there's a lot going on for me. My eyes are closed most of the time. Now, I know that the thought there is probably, that's no big deal for us. It's something that I personally need to work through. And I will as time goes on. So it was just amazing to me how, again, that talk was already in place before that came up. So it's very good, also a great thing for me, because it gives me something else that I need to look at, that I need to work through, that I need to bring into alignment with what's going on, what's really real. So today I'll be diving into some very familiar water. Right? This is water that we're all familiar with when it comes to thoughts. Because we know that, thoughts are the only reason we believe, that we're separate from one another. And we have, you know, really resourceful tools. One of my favorites is the, that Regina introduced to us was the loop of experience. What I think about, I see. What I see, I experience. And what I experience, I think. And we know from watching our thoughts that it all starts and ends with thoughts. Just as the loop of experience points out, the very first thing it says is what I think about, I see. And it ends with what I experience, I think. So thinking is just like the core, really. Thoughts are what create the reality that we all experience. So at this time of year, you know, at the holiday season, we're rounding down a whole new year, heading into a brand new year. You know, thoughts, things of that nature. My thoughts when I was originally preparing this was that this is a really busy time for heightened thoughts, you know, being felt and expressed more deeply because of all of this sparkly holiday energy, right? You know, all of the things that come along with the holidays. And not all of those things are pleasant for all people. You know, so some people struggle a lot during holiday season with, you know, whatever they're dealing with. So there's all of these emotions that are constantly brewing around this time of year. So I thought for myself, it would be good for me to talk about something that's so familiar as this, as thoughts. And then, of course, the added element of the Zoom chat came in, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's a great time to look at thoughts. It's a great time to really sit down and be aware of what I'm thinking, right? There's a paragraph from the text that Reverend Jerry read, and that paragraph reads, "We are so busy and obsessed with our restless thinking about everything and everyone that we have mistaken our thinking about everything and everyone for everything and everyone. This tendency to take our thoughts to be real is what keeps the dream state intact and keeps us trapped within its domain of unconsciousness and strife." So this tendency that we all have to take our thoughts to be reality is actually what keeps us trapped. So again, that goes back to the importance of practicing watching our thoughts, being aware of the thoughts that have a tendency to come up for us. And one thing I want to point out here in this area is that we don't really have control over the thoughts that show up for us. That was one thing that, you know, was a real like eye opener for me before I got on this spiritual path, because the thought was always, well, these are my thoughts. They're in my head. So they must be created by, you know, they must be coming from me. Right? And that's not the case. I mean, that's not necessarily the case as far as where thoughts originate from. And I don't want to stray too far off talking about the origination of thoughts, only to say that those thoughts are, we're not in control of that part. What we are in control of is whether or not we choose to believe those thoughts, whether or not we embrace those thoughts at a deep level. And in this reading, we read not only about the personal acceptance of thoughts, but also at a collective level. So we're dealing with all types of levels of believing, the tendency to want to believe. So we have all of these levels or layers of the onion to peel back in order to really experience reality as it is. So having said that, that means that most of the time we're not dealing with reality as it truly is. And another very poignant point that Adi Ashanti made in this particular reading was that if we are to believe a single thought, just one single thought that runs contrary to the way things are, we suffer because of it. There are no exceptions to that. And to me, that is a very, very, very valuable piece of information for us to take in and receive. Because any thought that we have that is contrary to the way things are will result in suffering. There are no ifs, ands, buts, maybes, or could be's about it. That is the way things are. So when I initially started out on this path and things like that began to show up, truths of that magnitude began to show up, my initial thought was, okay, so let me get this straight. I suffer because I believe my thoughts, and those same thoughts prevent me from experiencing the only thing that really means anything, which is love. And so one might ask, you know, well, how do these thoughts that are not true suddenly become our reality? That was the question that I initially had. You know, if it's not true, how is it showing up and looking as if it is? And that was a big conundrum for me along this path, I must admit. If there weren't evidence showing up along with the thoughts, you know, where was my thought at the time, I wouldn't give those thoughts a second look if there was no evidence to go along with them in most cases. I mean, if it was something big, I'd have to see something in order to believe it, you know? It's like they say, if you're from the show me state, you know, I have to see it in order to believe it. And, but in that area, even we can, you know, I began to see past that fog a bit, because it's the power that each of us has that creates in that way, right? So I was literally looking past the power and only at the situation as it presented itself. In other words, I couldn't see the forest for the tree. The believing of the thought is what gives it power, what gives it life. And then, of course, another sticky layer of that is that they can present themselves, the thoughts can show up without being believed. And now, I mean, now that one was pretty big for me, because I thought if it was in my head already, it's already here, it's already active, it's already real, you know. And to learn that having a thought and believing a thought were literally two different things was, again, another huge opening for me. And we don't get to control or decide what thoughts show up or come by to see us or into our awareness. But we do, and we must be conscious of the power that we have. With the thoughts that come up, whether we choose to believe them or not. And, you know, like I said, I'm pretty sure I haven't said anything at all that you haven't heard today. And most of you have probably heard these things many, many times. And I'm also sure that most of you are probably aware of and diligently practicing being aware of the thoughts you're choosing to accept and believe in. Because again, there are these layers. It's not just at a personal layer. Of course, we know there's nothing personal at all. But there's that collective layer of beliefs as well that need to be looked at, examined, and ultimately let go. As I mentioned, this is something that I'm very aware of. I'm a work in progress. I do not proclaim on any level to be, you know, anything other than a work in progress. And so the more I become aware of the thoughts, the hindrances, the blockages to love's presence, the more I'm willing and capable of giving those thoughts their proper place, right? Because they're allowed to be there. There's nothing that I would reject. There's no thought. Every thought that I had about being now on video, every thought that I had was welcome. There was none that I would say, I don't want to think that. I'm too spiritual to be thinking that thought. No way. I'm not too spiritual to be thinking any thoughts. But I am conscious of the thoughts that show up. I'm conscious of the need to work with those thoughts, to allow those thoughts to be there. You know, again, it's nothing personal. But as I mentioned at the very beginning here, this would be like a little dip in some familiar waters that's actually meant to draw my attention and hopefully yours as well, more squarely on what could be easily considered, you know, one of the most important characteristics for the spiritually inclined, which is the ability to discern between those thoughts that arrive and thoughts that are believed. To know the difference between those two and to not be resistant to thoughts that arrive. I'm still, like I said, sitting with, being with, you know, the thoughts that have come up for me. It's not, I think at a more, as I've thought about this a little further, for me, I think that it is more of wanting the focus to be on the message and not the messenger. You know, as I speak here today, my voice is heard, whatever vibrations are felt, but anything else to me, it just feels like it's taking away from the message. And then again, there's also those things those personal things that I talked about at the beginning, the use of my hands, the closing of my eyes, you know, all of those personal little quirks are also in there. But whenever I speak here, I want myself removed as much as possible. I want the self of the personality of Gloria removed as much as possible. And that's always my intention, and it will remain my intention, you know? So as I mentioned, I continue to work on the thoughts that show up for me. I continue to allow those thoughts the space that they need to exist, because of course what we resist just keeps coming at us. It just keeps pressing. It doesn't stop. And again, one of the key points that this reading made was we suffer as a result. And who is in this to suffer intentionally? Who would intentionally create suffering for themselves? No one. No one would intentionally inflict that suffering on themselves. So once we are aware of that, we begin to operate and work things out in a much more aligned and congruent manner. And then also this goes back to the fact that the personality doesn't really disappear on this spiritual path, you know? And by that, what I mean to say is that I can't break it down any clearer than that. The personality doesn't disappear as you know, it lessens some of the things that you believe, like we were just talking here. The believing of thoughts is what creates, what gives them power. It's what imbues them with life. So just knowing the difference and that the loop of experience that I mentioned earlier, I must say along this path of growing and learning and unlearning, that has absolutely proved to be one of the visceral, I mean, like in your face, something that you're experiencing on a very deep level. What I think about, I see. What I see, I experience, and what I experience, I think. That is like, it's huge, you know, because I see the evidence of that statement all the time. There are other big truths on the path that have been a little harder or a little bit more challenging for me to embrace, such as, you know, everyone is love, everybody, because, you know, you look out and everyone's not acting like love. So that takes a little more processing. But this loop of experience, again, has, it's touchable, it's reachable, and it's believable, because it is the way things are. It is how our experience goes. And being aware of that loop, being aware that our thoughts are what we are creating and how we are creating, is just, I think it's just a magnificent resource for us to have and be aware of. All right. So in this season of holiday sparkly stuff, you know, I am encouraged to stay grounded in love and to remember that this loop of experience is always looping, always working in the background. And to also remember that most people aren't aware that that is what's happening. So it gives that added layer of compassion as well. You know, when I'm dealing with myself and with others, I've been very compassionate with myself, even through this whole idea of being visible here in the sanctuary on a regular basis, or when I'm here sharing. There has to be compassion in there. All right, so I do want to go back to another paragraph from today's reading. And I'm getting back to that. Yes, the mistaken thinking, the mistake in our thinking, believing that everyone and everything, that what we think about everyone and everything is the way things really are, right? That has been also another thing that I've had to look at on this path and come to terms with. The thoughts are usually, at one point in time on this journey, the thoughts were quite prevalent, you know. Nowadays, my thoughts are just not as active as they once were, you know. And I imagine it's that observer effect, you know, that you hear a scientist talking about. Anything that you place your awareness on automatically shifts it, you know. It automatically does something, changes the dynamic there, the moment you place your attention on something. And so just the sheer thought of placing more attention on my thoughts has caused them, to just be less noisy, less busy, less chattery all the time. You know, the mind definitely still chatters. Mind still does what minds do. But the awareness behind the chattering is there as well. And it's always been there, honestly. I mean, it hasn't just magically, poof, here's awareness. You know, it's always been there. It's just that I'm aware of it being there now, which is a good thing, because this is all about growth. This is all about forward movement, taking steps on the path to let go of things that are no longer serving us as spiritual beings. It's what it's all been about. So I think I want to get ready to wrap up what I wanted to share today. Let me also make a great leap here and turn my camera back on. All right, so here I am. And as I mentioned, there's always movement. There's always something happening here with me as far as, always something happening. But I do want to close by saying it is truly a pleasure, truly a blessing to connect with you all, to share this familiar stuff that we've talked about this morning. You know, it is, there are no, everything gets done in the way that it gets done. I mean, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, right? When you're ready to go further on your path, everything is given. Everything, there's nothing that you have to go and look for. There's nothing that you have to go and create for yourself. It's given. Once there is that, you know, once you begin to line up, which is why it was no surprise for me that, you know, as I was already preparing to speak about thoughts and being mindful of those thoughts and not believing those thoughts, that it would come to me having to deal with my thoughts. You know, there's no surprises there. There's no coincidences there. So I just want to, again, say that it's always a great pleasure to be here sharing in the sanctuary. And it's good to be that, to see that all of you have been able to antiquate pretty well to using the sanctuary or using this new format here. It's great to see that everybody's been able to get adjusted to that. So I'm going to ask Dawn to please post a link in the room for anyone who would like to make a donation to Awakening Together. Your donations are greatly appreciated, and they do assist us with, absolutely. Jacqueline, I don't leave home without it as far as that goes, as when I'm doing this. This is just never without it. But also, I'm going to ask Lynn to play a song for us. Great job today, Lynn, adjusting to the sanctuary, not missing a beat with being able to get our music out there. And while she plays this song, I'm just going to ask that you contemplate what was shared today. What is useful for you on your path? What is helpful for you on your path? And then, as usual, we'll have a moment to share. You do that by raising your hand in the sanctuary if anybody would like to share. But for now, I'm going to release the mic to Lynn. And as always, love to you all.
Be still my mind, let all my thoughts be still. Be still my mind, let all my thoughts be still. Father, I come to you today. seek the peace that you alone can give. I come in silence. I come in silence. My Father, speak to me today. I come to hear your voice in silence and certainty and in love. Sure you will hear my call and answer me, answer me. I come in silence. I come in silence.
Yes, be still my mind, let all of my thoughts be still. And even if they decide to move around, I'm moving right with them. Actually, I'm not going to move with them. I'm going to stay sturdy. My camera's falling. All right. So if anyone would like to share, now is the time. You just click on that participants box over there on the right and raise your hand. And I will let go of the mic and pass the mic to you if anyone wants to have a word here today. I'm just checking. Okay. Yes, and someone else pointed out something I did want to say. Thank you to Ken, Reverend Ken. You've been a wonderful sanctuary director for us, and we just absolutely deeply grateful for all that you've done here at Awakening Together. So I did want to mention that as well. Let's see. Well, I don't see any hands up. As I mentioned during my sharing today, there's nothing new that I said. As a matter of fact, there's nothing new under the sun. There was nothing.
Actually, Gloria, Regina has her hand up, and so does Joanne.
Oh,
I would like to say something eventually, too.
I didn't see those. Thank you.
And Jay has his hand up as well.
Okay, then I'm going to let go of the mic then. Thank you, Dawn.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, I think it's interesting that she couldn't see the hands up. Just to let you all know, I can see them. I see mine and Joanne's and Jay's. So I don't know what that was. You know, we have little things to figure out. I think it's great, however, that that Dawn's able to step in and say that, you know. So I really love that. I want to say, first of all, Gloria, wow. I was deeply, deeply, deeply inspired by your sharing today. Also, you did so well staying in the flow of inspiration in a completely new format and not being distracted by the format. Of course, I know part of that was keeping your camera off, but you still had a new thing in front of you there. And sometimes getting used to a new medium can be very, very challenging. And you stepped right into the flow, just as you always do. You know, from the very, very first time that you've spoken our sanctuary, my first thought was, she was born to be a minister. That was my thought. And I still feel that way, Gloria. Every time I hear you speak, you were born to be a minister. You know, today's sharing was wonderful. And, you know, I was quoting you or Adya Shanti at different times throughout the sharing. But I think the realization, and here I'm not even talking about reality. I'm talking about, you know, what we call the illusion, the world. We don't even see it as it is, you know, because we're seeing through the filter of our minds, because we're believing those thoughts. And it's kind of like an illusion of an illusion, right? Twice removed from reality. You know, when we look at a person and we listen to the person, there's not just this open mind looking and listening. What's happened is I'm interpreting, you know, based on who I think they are, and I'm judging and it's all confused. And again, like you or Adya Shanti said, you know, everybody's walking around in their own dream. You know, there's no connection there at all. So if we could even just get to where we see the illusion as it is, right? Without our interpreting mind, actually hear what somebody's saying, see what's going on. That's already a giant step forward. I think that's often called true perception. So I want to say thank you. I will tell you, strange things do keep happening on my screen suddenly, and I don't know why. I don't know if other people are experiencing that. It's happened about 3 or 4 times to me. I'm not even touching my computer just now. All of you guys just disappeared from my screen, and I'm not even touching anything. So I don't know if that's something going on in the background that's causing things to happen. You know, but I'm figuring out as I go along how to get back. And in a moment, I can't find my mute. I can unmute myself, but it's weird how things keep changing. So, you know, we'll have a learning curve. Tonight I'm going to try playing a YouTube video and showing it to you. We'll see how that goes. For now, I'm going to release the mic and try and find you guys. Bye.
Hi, I don't know if I'm up next, but I'll be brief. Hello, everybody. Gloria, I just want to say thank you so much. There were some bullet points that came through in your message that really hit home with me, and it's very helpful to realize that we're all living a separate dream. Sometimes it feels like a nightmare, and it's good to join. I felt more connected through this format. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if it's because of the video. I think it's more than that. For some reason, I just feel like everybody's just kind of like stepping in and joining more. And I feel more ready to join. I don't know if I'm expressing this properly, but this is just how I feel. And I just want to say hello to everybody and thank you for positive thoughts. And I love you all. I'll let go of the mic if I can figure out how.
All right. Thank you so much, Joanne. And it looks like when we there's the option in Zoom to share your screen. And if someone shares their screen, we can all see the screen. So you have to be careful there with sharing your screen unless you're up on the mic speaking. So do we have any other hands raised for comments this morning? And thank you for the compliment, Regina. On the ministering, thank you.
I would like to speak. As an administrator, I don't have the ability to raise my hand, so sometimes you'll find that I actually just have to jump in.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to say thank you, guys, that I have this new position as sanctuary director. I'm really looking forward to my time here to learn everything I can learn and absorb all the information that Ken's here to teach me. And Gloria, wow, every single time I hear you, and Regina said it right on, it's wonderful to hear you and the way Spirit moves through you. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much too, Dawn. It's so good to see that you guys are there, that you're there learning all of the ins and outs of what Ken used to hold, how Ken used to hold everything together. So I'm sure you'll continue to hold it together for us. All right. Does anyone else want to share here this morning? If not, I am going to ask Lynn to play us a closing song. And then right directly following the gathering this morning, we'll have fellowship time, fellowship half hour with Ken and Rebecca. So if you'd like to stick around and be a part of fellowship hour, you're more than welcome to do that. I'm releasing this mic. Again, very good to see you all here with your cameras on. And I am truly encouraged and inspired to work through some of the things that have come up for me with this camera thing, and we'll get it going. So I'll see you guys again back here to share next year. Until then, great love.
step with them. See, can start so then. Turn to the middle. Back to the cradle. Rocking it all too long. Tell me what's going on with your life. Has it stayed the same? Well, why do we dream in metaphors and try to hold on to something we couldn't understand? Tell me, why must we argue? Must we when peace is our salvation? I couldn't understand. Couldn't understand. Yeah.